Jim Colony of 93.7 A Fan in Pittsburgh as we start our look around the National League Central, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Jim, how you doing, man?
Bill, this is great. I thought I'd never hear from you again. I thought there would be no more sports, no more Steelers, no more Packers, no more Pirates, no more Brewers. Yet here we are, maybe.
We have run off into the COVID abyss, and right now we're just looking for life preservers, I guess is the best way to put it. So yeah. Good to hear from you. How are things there in Pittsburgh? How is your team doing?
Well, they're all there. As far as we know, they've done a pretty good job of, you know, the only way you can talk to these guys anymore is, either via phone or via Zoom or via whatever. And Derek Shelton, the manager, does a weekly spot on our station on Wednesdays. So we've been in constant contact with him. But as far as we know, talking to the manager, the GM, a few of the players, is that everybody's going to be there. Nobody is opting out. And as of earlier in the week, nobody had tested positive. But, you know, we'll find out a little bit more today because players, a lot of guys have been here. I don't know what it's been like for you guys. There've probably been, I don't know, a half dozen, then up to a dozen players. So half of the big league squad, as it's going to look, has been around for a little bit, but now everybody's going to be here they should be here by tomorrow.
So as they all have gone in, and yeah, there were some players that were still living in this area, and they've been, my assumption is they've been doing their workouts here or at some of the ballparks around here. But as this thing gets underway, now you tell me, what's the optimism for the Pittsburgh Pirates and that fan base?
There isn't any. And they're really, the only reason for optimism is that it's a short season, and that's it. Is that you can point to, if you go through the first 60 games of last season, the Pirates were not over 500. They were 29 and 31 through 60 games. But at least that means that they were, if it had been that way, they would have been in contention such as it was. Now, if the players, if all this labor nonsense hadn't have ended up the way it did, and somehow they had an expanded playoff system, then I think you'd be talking a little bit, that there'd be a reason for optimism. But, you know, Chris Archer's out for the season. He had this injury that nobody really knew about. Edgar Santana, who's a real promising arm in the bullpen, who was good 2 years ago. Tommy John surgery, came back this spring and didn't allow a base runner in 15 innings. And I was down there. I saw all of his games. He's really good. He gets a PED suspension. So their bullpen is still okay, and they may actually come up with a better pitcher than Chris Archer has been for them since he came over in that what's looking like an awful trade a year and a half ago. But other than that, you know, there's a lot of things that, okay, if this happens, if that happens. But especially now with a DH, I just don't know that the Pirates have the kind of pop in a batting order. They've got two, not automatic outs, but pretty close to it. Whoever the catcher is, and then Gerard Dyson in center field. Those guys, their batting averages are just a little bit better than pitchers. And so they don't have the kind of a lineup that, you know, we used to call an American League lineup with a DH, where you had basically no automatic outs and maybe only one or two weak bats in an order. The Pirates still have that problem.
How's the pitching staff? We all know that it's going to be a short sprint, and whether or not you can use starters for three or four or five innings and then get to that bullpen, what does your pitching staff look like?
Well, that's another one of the – it seems like, I don't know, maybe you get these too. The only answer I have for any COVID-related kind of a question is I don't know. And with the Pirates, I don't know. Now, here's some reason for optimism, however, is Oscar Marin, who's the new pitching coach. And it's a departure from what they had in the past where they tried to make Tyler Glasnow into a guy that threw sinker balls to try to get ground ball outs instead of just blowing it past guys, which is what he's doing now in Tampa Bay. Oscar Marin is willing to work with pitchers to work with their strengths to do what they do best. And we saw a little bit of that in spring training, but you really don't see, you know what it is, you don't see all that much. So, but the pitchers rave about him. And it's not about, like, you're going to do it my way. It's like, well, what do you want to do? And get feedback from a pitcher and work with them. I mean, these guys didn't get to this level by accident. And there's some talent there. And I love to see the way that he's going to work with these guys. But, again, with a short season and everything, I don't know. The pitchers that we've talked to are saying that they're ready to go. They expect they'll be ready to go four innings right now. Like if they had to go out next week and pitch in a game, that they could go four innings. They're pretty confident in that. And so who knows, maybe by the time that the games actually start, such as they'll be, that those guys could be good for at least five and maybe even six innings, and that's important if they can get that far.
I keep reading about Adam Frazier being the potential odd man out in a very crowded infield. Is there talks of possibly trading him at some point to try to get something to move him?
At some point, yes. I would expect that to be during the next offseason. Of course, we don't even know. Maybe it already is the next offseason, right? But I think with Frazier, now, David Fries, who's a pretty good authority, the guy was a World Series MVP, and he was with the Pirates for a little bit. When he left, he predicted that he thought Frazier had the kind of stuff to win a batting title. And he's a left-handed hitter, he's got decent speed. So the problem was last year, Frazier admitted finally in the offseason that he was playing through injuries, a couple of them, that really hampered him. Now, I'm not going to suggest that in a short season he's going to threaten 400, but he's actually a pretty good hitter. And the top of the Pirates' batting order is not bad. You know, Kevin Newman was kind of under the radar as a rookie last season, the shortstop, because he hit over 300, but so did Brian Reynolds, who was a bona fide Rookie of the Year candidate. And so you've got Newman, you've got Reynolds, a switch hitter in the number two spot, Frazier at number three, and then if you can get the May-June version of Josh Bell in the cleanup spot, now there's a real batting order right there. That's the makings of some real good young hitters up top. But to answer your question, the Pirates have two guys in the minors, and there won't be a minor league season this year, two former high draft picks, with Cole Tucker, who's a shortstop second baseman, and then also Key Brian Hayes, who could be the best fielding third baseman in professional baseball, period. His bat hasn't caught up to that yet. And could he beat out Colin Moran at third base? A lot of Pirate fans would like to see that happen. And so, yeah, they're crowded in the infield. You know what I'd do, though? What I would do is I would forget about Jerrod Dyson. I would move Brian Reynolds to center field. He's a really good outfielder. He's a fine center fielder. And put Frazier out in left field and make that your regular lineup. And then if Gregory Polanco is halfway decent, and he did look good this spring, then you've got a decent outfield, and you make room for one of those younger guys in the infield. And you know what? Even put Colin Moran over at first base against right-handers, and DH Josh Bell, who's still working on his defense. That's getting better, but it's still not, you know, real major league caliber defense.
Well, that's my next question, because a lot of rumors flying around. I was reading in one of the New Jersey newspapers talking about the Yankees, that the Yankees could be looking for hitters. Josh Bell might be that guy. Would he be available? And if so, what would the Yankees, do you think, have to give up to get him? Because Brian Cashman has not mentioned him specifically, but certainly I think there's hints out there that that might be a guy they'd be interested in.
Well, I don't think anybody, you know, there's some talk about, you know, could the Pirates sign Josh Bell long term, but based on what happened last year, he was so good at the beginning, and then all of a sudden he just went cold. He rebounded a bit in September, but, you know, September stats can often be misleading with call-ups and everything. You know, but could the Pirates make a long-term investment in him? I guess they could try, but his agent's Scott Boras, and that's just not going to happen.
Right.
So, yes, the Josh Bell, even though if I were the Pirates, I would not be actively seeking to trade him, but I would – hey, look, if anybody wants to talk about anybody, who are the Pirates to say no? I mean, just say, what do you got for us? But the thing is that the Pirates can't – if they could get a return, okay, if they could get a return like the Tampa Bay Rays got for Chris Archer with Glasnow, with Austin Meadows, and then a pitcher, Shane Baz, who's a former number one draft pick who throws up in the upper 90s, if the Pirates could get something like that for him in return, then they would be foolish not to do that. But I just wonder what the trade market's going to be like this year with the short season ahead and everything else, where teams – it's almost if teams will throw away the season. And if you want to use that term, that's why if I'm the Pirates, I'm taking a look at younger players and even relief pitchers they've got in their system that throw out. They got a kid, Blake Seidelin, who throws 100. He needs more experience, to be sure. But what the heck? You know, put him on the 30-man roster at some point. He'll be on that taxi squad. You can call him up and down, I think. I don't know what the rules are on that yet. But, you know, look at some of these younger guys and almost treat it like the Grapefruit League. And, you know, I'm looking at this season like, why not, when it comes to all sorts of strategies and tactics.
Talking with Jim Colony, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Jim, before I let you go, so not a lot of expectations, but when the future starts to come to light, is it a 2-year, 3 years rebuilding type of thing, or do they expect more success sooner?
No, I think they're going to give Ben Cherington a chance. He's in an interesting spot because his experience, his success, was with Boston. And he's like a lot of the – I mean, I'm a native New Englander myself. I grew up in New Hampshire. So did Cherington. So I have a soft spot for those guys. Of course, Neil Huntington, his predecessor, is also from New Hampshire. But a lot of baseball men come from New England. They grew up as Red Sox fans as kids and learned the game that way. But I'm talking too much about this year. I want to give him a chance because the one thing that people say, oh, in Boston you can spend, which they could. They also developed talent. They drafted – They knew talent, they drafted, and they developed these guys. And to me, that's been the Pirates' problem, is that they've had players they don't know what to do with. They haven't been able to develop these guys. And I want to see Cherington and his regime and watch them do this. And that's why this season's terrible, because there's no minor leagues. And it's so important for teams like the Pirates. The Brewers are kind of in that same position, although they spend the kind of money they should. That how are they going to develop their prospects when they don't have minor leagues? And so how are we going to evaluate what Cherington and his staff are doing if they don't have a chance to do that? It's a really weird time for everything. And certainly in baseball, the way that business is usually conducted and minor leagues and, I don't know, inter-squad, you know, what do you do? And I know you guys are, in Arizona, and the Pirates are in Florida. And are you going to send your guys down there now?
Right.
Or it's a hot spot again? It's just... I mean, it's unbelievable, all the roadblocks that are here, but, you know, it's time to, just to politicize a little bit, it's time to start finding solutions instead of trying to blame everything on all sorts of people. You know, let's try to figure out what to do, and I think that's what Cherington and his staff will do, is they'll, you know, okay, we got some problems here, but we're going to figure out a way to work through it. It's just going to take an awful long time.
Excellent stuff. Jim, always a pleasure. Certainly appreciate it. Stay safe. We'll talk soon, okay?
All right, same to you, Bill. We'll see you.
Thanks, pal. There you go. Jim Colony, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, giving us the lowdown on what's going on with the Pittsburgh Pirates. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been doing it. 85-plus. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.